I'm asking for your help, plain and simple. If you don't want to help, go ahead and hit stop. But if you do that, you're going to miss out on something so much bigger and so much more important than all the news in the world that angers us, all the fumbles that frustrate us, all the bills that may be piling up, or your child isn't making grades, maybe your car needs new brakes. It pales to what you're about to hear on this episode of KKHI. I'm going to introduce you to a man that has, for some reason, been listening to my shows for over 20 years, and he's a loyal listener and patron of KKHI. He's a family man of great faith. He loves all things Kansas City sports, and he's in the fight of his life. He doesn't want your sympathy. He is not bitter. He was prepared for this fight like nobody else you've ever heard of. And all he wants is for you to know and to help. We're about to tell you how you can in a commercial-free episode. Heck, you know who the sponsors are anyway. I recently received an email from this optimistic, brave man about his incredible story, and it moved me in a way that no other email has. I shared it with Jessica, and we both cried. That's not what he wants. He wants you to help. So before I bring him on the podcast, I'll share the email with you. It starts with, "Hello, Kevin Keatsman," and an exclamation point, because he is tremendously optimistic. He writes, "I've been a longtime listener and follower of yours. I first met you at a previous employer's quarterly meeting as you were the guest speaker back in 1999. I reached out to you via email before the event, expressing my enthusiasm for the company choosing a talk show radio host. You were quick to reply with gratitude and appreciation of my support, and it's that type of approach and attitude that I continue to hear on your podcasts. I'm excited to say that I'm both a follower and a patron of KKHI. In all transparency, I'm confident you will read this and reply to this email, but I'm really not sure how to make the transition. I'm not sure how to make a transition from a fan to a listener asking for your help. On December 21st, 2020, I was diagnosed with ALS. 4 days before Christmas, this 44-year-old husband and father of four heard three letters no male in our family ever wants to hear. I lost my grandfather and my father to this disease, and I have an older brother who's been diagnosed with ALS this past June. You read that correctly. We are third generation ALS. Imagine your body completely failing you, losing control over your muscles that help you walk, talk, swallow, and breathe. Simple tasks that we take for granted, like bathing yourself, dressing yourself, feeding yourself, hugging your loved ones, or even speaking to your loved ones, suddenly stripped from you piece by piece. But your mind is still functioning at 100% capacity. You're still able to think, see, hear, smell, touch, and taste. You're completely aware of every single little thing that you are no longer able to do. ALS can affect anyone, anywhere, at any age. More than 90% of people with ALS have no family history of the disease. 1 in 300 people will receive an ALS diagnosis in their lifetime, U.S. military veterans being twice as likely. The disease has been around for over 150 years, and to date there are two drugs currently approved by the FDA that will not cure this disease. They may simply slow the progression and add a few more months to my life. To put this in perspective, every 90 minutes someone is diagnosed with this disease, and every 90 minutes someone dies from the disease. I know you've heard of ALS because of your past involvement bringing awareness to this disease, and that's why I reach out to you today. I'm not asking for sympathy or pity. I'm simply asking if you could use your platform to help us bring awareness about this disease and our Walk to Defeat ALS Kauffman Stadium October 9th, 10 a.m. event to raise money and awareness. This diagnosis does not dictate how our family continues to live life. As a family, we choose to be advocates rather than victims by spreading the word about this awful disease. My wife says the right person hasn't been diagnosed yet. I don't claim to be the right person, but I will be that person that continues to fight until that person comes along. How can you help, Kevin? Honestly, I'm open to any suggestions. It may be something as simple as sharing my story with your listeners or sharing more of my personal story and battle as a third-generation ALS diagnosis. When your family is faced with a terminal illness, your life changes forever. It's hard and it's sad. While we can't control the circumstances, we can definitely control our reaction and our attitudes. We can step out of our comfort zone and be an advocate to bring awareness to ALS. We can share our story and how this journey has impacted our family. Time, something we so easily take for granted, is no longer on our side. We live in the moment, not any moment. We live in this moment. Thank you for taking the time to read my email, Kevin, and thank you for the podcast and everything you do on KKHI. Keep up the great work. His name is James Bishop, and he is asking for people to be aware of this dreadful disease and to help out if they possibly can at an event coming up on Saturday, October 9th at Kauffman Stadium. It's the Kansas City Walk to Defeat ALS. And James joins us now to talk about that. Hello, James. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Kevin.
Well, I read your email for everybody, and I told you before we got started here today that myself and my wife are touched by your email, that you have listened as long as you have, and I feel like we're connected in that way. I've always felt connected to a lot of people that I don't know well, and I'm connected to you now, and I'm looking forward to talking about your journey, your family's experience, and what the listeners of this podcast can do to help out on October 9th at the Walk to Defeat ALS. So before we talk about that, let's talk about how you're doing. It has not been that long since your diagnosis. It's only been maybe about 10 months or so. How are you doing? How are you feeling, and how is your family doing?
You know, it's every day is different, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling I still have a lot of strength. I'm blessed to still physically be able to work. I have a lot of my functions. What I have lost is I've lost complete mobility in my left arm. I have no use of my left arm or my left hand. As a result, I need assistance doing things that we take for granted. Things that we take for granted, like buttoning a pair of jeans or tying a tennis shoe, putting on deodorant or washing yourself. Those are things that I think we take for granted when you have two working limbs, and currently right now I'm without one. Lucky for myself, it's my left arm, and I'm right hand dominant. I'm still able to drive. I'm still able to write. There's a lot of things I'm still able to do. In regards to my family, my family is as good as they can be under the circumstances. They are very supportive and very encouraging. They are definitely my biggest fans, and they fight every battle with me. Any obstacle that's in our way, we fight as a family, and they're my biggest supporters.
They are also well aware of your father and grandfather who had ALS and what this awful, dreadful disease does, and what a battle is ahead. They know that. How does it complicate things for you watching them deal with all this as well? Because we know that it's very difficult for them as well.
It's difficult as a father. You don't want to see your kids hurt. You don't want to see them in pain. And as a father, all you want to do is protect your wife and to protect your kids. And with a diagnosis like this, you know that time is not guaranteed to where you're going to be able to protect them. It's a blessing and a curse with our family history and this disease, because I know what they're going through. However, I was 33 years old when my father was diagnosed. I wasn't 17, 19, or 21. And I'm not sure how I would process that news. However, they know the seriousness of the situation. So we as a family take it as an opportunity to live in the moment. That's our motto as a family, is to live in the moment. We don't look ahead to tomorrow. We don't look ahead to the next appointment or my next symptoms. We live in the moment, and we enjoy that moment, because tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. It's not guaranteed for any of us. And we as a family know time is not guaranteed. So with this familiarity of the disease and understanding it, it's given us as an opportunity as a family to grow closer and not take anything for granted, especially time with one another.
So this seems an obvious question for me, but I don't know that it gets asked a lot. And it's a hard question for me to ask because I don't know your experience. I'm pretty sure everybody listening to this podcast right now doesn't know what you're going through. We've lost loved ones in our lives, but until something happens in your life or it becomes imminent or you have a disease, I can't walk in your shoes. What I've never understood about brave people like you is how are you keeping it together, remaining optimistic, not being mad or bitter, and reaching out to me and saying, I want to help others. This may not be enough if we raise money and do this walk and do all these things for me, but it's got to help somewhere down the road for someone else. How, when you get this diagnosis and you go through this, do you channel your energy in such a positive way to go fundraise, create awareness, and in all likelihood, help someone down the road, but maybe not help yourself? How do you do that?
Kevin, a lot of it is how I was raised. And when I say how I was raised, I was raised in the church. I'm a man of faith. My family is a family of faith. And what the enemy intends for evil, he turns to good. And that's really myself and my family. We've had to go outside our comfort zone to spread the word about this ugly nightmare that we call ALS. And, you know, when you receive news of a terminal illness, you have one of two choices. You're going to be a victim or you're going to be a voice. ALS takes away the voice eventually. I want to be a voice for the voiceless until such time I don't have that voice. I'm going to make the most of this opportunity to let other people know. It's an uncomfortable situation. It's an uncomfortable thing to talk about. However, it has to be talked about. I'm third generation. Enough is enough. Do I get mad? Absolutely. Do I get frustrated at the things in life that I'm going to miss out? Yes. When my sons talk about not having children in order to stop this disease, it makes you mad as a father. However, me being mad is not going to spread the word. Me being mad is not going to let others know that every 90 minutes someone is diagnosed with ALS and someone passes away with ALS. It's those emotions of me being upset or feeling sorry for myself. That's not an option. My family wouldn't allow for that. They would not allow for that. We fight. We know what the battle is ahead of us. And we move forward.
Wow. You must have a very strong family and a very strong faith. That's pretty amazing. I'm all in on the walk. It is Saturday, October 9th at Kauffman Stadium, 10 a.m. It's a one-mile walk. It's the walk to defeat ALS. The website's a little tricky, so what we're going to ask everybody to do is just Google ALS Walk Kansas City, and we'll pop right up. And we're going to ask the listeners of this podcast, and I mean every single person that is listening right now, to go on and donate at least 10 bucks, something. You have your own walk team. It's called Bishop's Brawlers. You're 69% to your goal of $3,000 as we speak. It may be by the time somebody listens to this, it may be better than that. But that's where we are right now. And I was thinking about starting a team, and I said, well, why would I do that, James? I should join your team. So I'm going to come walk with you and your group and make a donation. And I implore everyone to do this. If you can come walk with us, come walk with us. Even better, spread the word, bring your family. It's a 1 mile walk is all. That sounds great. Let's go, man. It should be a gorgeous day. Let's get some people out there on Bishop's Brawlers, don't you think?
That would be exciting. That would be exciting. Again, it's all about getting that awareness out there. It's definitely a family fun event. You're going to have a DJ there. You're going to have games. You're going to have food. There's lots of things for the kids to do, opportunities to take pictures. I've been involved with the walk for 10 years, and every year it gets better and bigger.
So your family's been a part of this for a long time because of your father and grandfather. So you know this, you knew all about ALS before getting it.
I did. I knew. My father had a late diagnosis. It was 91 days from diagnosis to death, in which his ALS was confirmed. He had a late diagnosis because he was also a diabetic. And a lot of his atrophy was contributed to diabetes. So I believe that was masking his diagnosis. I knew my father had it. I knew my grandfather had it. And towards the end, every other day I would leave work, come over that evening, every other evening, and my father was unable to walk. So I would pick him up and put him in a chair, and I'd roll him to the bathroom, lift him up, put him in the shower, put him on the bench, and walk him. And that was our routine every other night. And one night he had said to me, he goes, I'm sorry. And I said, for what? And his words were, if I gave this to you. Mm. And my words were, Dad, if you gave this to me, I gladly accept it because it's a part of you. And you've shown me how to live with it. But, Dad, it stops with me. I got to be it. It was always a ongoing joke in the house that, okay, well, I'll get ALS when I'm in my 60s. You know, my grandpa was in his 60s. My dad was in his 60s. So I never thought that I wasn't going to get it. I just thought it'd be later in life. I never tested to see because I didn't want to know. I didn't want to live that life. My sister has tested. She does not carry the gene. And she wanted to know because if she did have it and she wasn't showing symptoms yet, she was going to participate in some clinical trials. My older brother was also diagnosed recently as well. So my family is, yes, very familiar with this disease and the battles that lie ahead of us.
So how far have we come? I know the FDA's approved two drugs, and have they not? You're attempting to do an experimental drug, and maybe we'll follow up on that at a future discussion, or you can tell me about it now. It's fine. But there's two that are approved and one that's experimental. Where do you think we are in research for this?
In research, I can tell you that we've made, there's opportunities now that weren't available to my father. However, the government funding still isn't there. I'm also, once I got diagnosed, I registered with the Mid-America chapter of Kansas City. So a part of me, how I try to get the word out there is I'm also a Missouri State Representative for ALS Advocacy. So that what I do is this past spring, we had a virtual charge on the Hill. And we spoke with legislators about legislation in regards to ALS. It really continues to come down to funding. Many experts say that this disease is not incurable. It's underfunded. What my wife always says is, the right person hasn't been diagnosed with ALS yet. So we continue. There's things along the way as far as telehealth. We're trying to expand telehealth because of the COVID. We opened up those doors for individuals on telehealth. However, that's something that they're looking to remove as COVID goes away. However, as an ALS patient, telehealth is very important to you because you're going to get to a point to where you don't have that ability to walk. But you need to meet with your neurologist. Your neurologist needs to see some benchmarks of where you are at and get some baselines. And sometimes you can't do that in person. Sometimes you're not able to. Some other things we're focusing on is Promising Pathway Act. And what that will do is that will give those with a terminal illness the opportunity for experimental drugs, because that's going to allow the FDA a little bit more flexibility. However, that includes all terminal illness drugs. So that, unfortunately, is something that's going to take more time. And as an ALS patient, time is not on your side.
Okay, so the experimental drug that you want to get is in phase two, as I understand it. What are the early results on that? And I know that you're hoping to get this started and do this treatment. What is it called, and what are the early results? How optimistic are you that this could be good?
Currently, right now, the name of the drug is Tofersen. And I believe it's in stage three. Early results right now is it is showing that it stops the buildup of the protein that attacks your nerves. So currently right now, I know specifically my neurologist is very, very optimistic. However, you know, every individual is different. Every individual is different how they're going to receive the drug. However, my neurologist is very optimistic, and this is a drug that my very first appointment, he was encouraging me and directing me to try this drug.
Wow. Well, that sounds like there's reason for optimism. Again, the Walk to Defeat ALS is Saturday, October 9th, 10 a.m., Kauffman Stadium. We're asking everyone listening to the podcast to Google ALS Walk Kansas City. That's the easiest way to do it, ALS Walk KC. And James Bishop's team is called Bishop's Brawlers. If you get to that site for the ALS Walk, there's a donate icon, there's whatever. But it would be great if you went to James's team. And you can donate or you can sign up to be a participant. If they sign up there as a participant, I have not done it yet. I've just told you that we're going to be doing it. I haven't done it. There's a t-shirt that comes with it or whatever. Is that all taken care of during the sign up, or do you need to speak with people individually if they want to come walk with us? How do we do this?
No, they would just show up. What I will do is...
they don't have to wear the t-shirt. They can wear whatever they want, right?
They can wear whatever they want.
There you go.
The t-shirt is specifically, we've sold approximately 160 t-shirts. And we're selling the t-shirts, $5 from each shirt is going towards the walk. But the purpose of the t-shirt is awareness. I'm all about awareness and spreading the word and telling as many people as I know about this disease, and because they're going to let someone else know. One in 300 people will come in contact with someone impacted by ALS. It's the statistics are out there. It's just we're not aware of them. I mean, one in 15 adults will be diagnosed and deal with at one time or another a neurological disease. One in 15 adults, not specifically ALS. Not specifically ALS. I mean, there's, you know, Alzheimer's, MS, there's other things, Parkinson's. But one in 15 are going to battle a neurological disease in their life.
Again, we want everybody to go to just Google ALS Walk KC. That's ALS Walk KC. It's Saturday, October 9th, Kauffman Stadium, 10 a.m. It's only 1 mile. It's a great family event. bring your whole family, or you can come alone, any way you want to do it. Or please, if you don't live in the Kansas City area, we have a lot of people listening to the podcast outside of Kansas City. Could you please go to that site and make a donation for the ALS Walk KC? And if you would go to James's page, his team page, just click on the icon there that says, you know, team member or a certain team, and it will scroll and you can put his name in. You just put in James Bishop, pops right up, Bishop's Brawlers, and you can donate, you can sign up to walk, you can do whatever you want. It would be awesome. It's a more than attainable goal of $3,000. If we don't get smashed way through that after this podcast, I'm going to be really, really mad at some of you listeners. I'm not kidding. And I'm also talking, I have to do this, James. This is always embarrassing. My closest friends that listen to this podcast, don't even think about skipping this one, okay? You better get your ass on there and get signed up to either walk or donate some money, and I mean do it now.
Right? Even the friend's name you can't say?
If he does not do this, he will no longer be a friend. I'm going to promise you right now. That's going to be the end of it. I'm telling you, that's the end of it, because he does listen. He listens on a treadmill. So, yes, even him. But I figure anybody listening can give 10 bucks, 20 bucks, something. Help out. It's strength in numbers. We have thousands of listeners to the podcast now. If everybody gives just a little, it will be a huge number. So help out if you possibly can. Google ALS Walk KC and make your donation. I think I also understand, James, that since there is a little navigating through and getting to your site and doing that, some people are just probably going to make donations to ALS. As I hear from those people, I'll let you know how that's going, because I think some people donate, or there's a lot of people in Kansas City that do a lot of great work with the Keith Worthington chapter and some of the great fundraisers and golf tournaments and things that there are around Kansas City. I feel like Kansas City, maybe more than most places, is aware of this. Does that make sense? Is there more awareness of ALS in Kansas City than most places, or do you know?
Yeah, I don't know specifically. What I do know is I'm encouraged on how many resources are out there and outlets for that information and people talking about it, because it's, you know, I have, when I talk to my siblings in other states, you know, I'll research their ALS chapter. And I do feel like the ALS Mid-America chapter is very aware and informed in Kansas City.
Well, I know through the years that Tom Watson and George Brett have been very instrumental in creating awareness. It always helps to have folks like that out there helping in any way that they can. And I know they do great work here at the Mid-America chapter. I think that's awesome. Let's finish with some fun. Do you want to have some fun, James?
Absolutely.
If you've been so bored for 20-some years listening to me talk about sports, what's your favorite team? What's your favorite moments? What are the greatest things you've seen or experienced as a fan?
We moved to Kansas City in 1984, and a long story short, the church I was attending, there was a group of young men that wouldn't allow me in their group of friends, and they were all Missouri fans. And I learned at a young age, well, if they're not going to like me, I'll give them a reason. And I started to follow the University of Kansas. So it's out of spite, I started to follow the University of Kansas. My grandfather was a diehard Oklahoma fan. So watching the 1988 finals and calling my grandfather immediately after the game was a memory I'll never forget. I'll tell you what, Royals, my wife and I, you know, I'll be honest with you, Kevin, if we're going to have fun, I'm going to vent for a moment.
Okay.
You know, my daughters are 17 years old and my sons are 19 and 21. For them to have experienced the World Series and a Super Bowl in their lifetime at such young ages, I'm a little bitter at them. I get frustrated at them when they talk about a losing streak. And I say, you don't know what a losing streak is. You have paid $5 to sit in GA outfield in the heat and it's 102 degrees and you're miserable, but you like watching baseball. You haven't experienced those things. However, being around my family and experiencing those championships, and sports brings people closer together. You know, I'm a diehard Kansas City fan. It's anything with Kansas City, I'm loyal to this city. I'm loyal to this city and their sports teams. I have a son that goes to Mizzou. So I will cheer for Mizzou because my loyalty to my son is stronger than my sports loyalty.
As it should be. You know, it's funny when we get older, the rivalries are like, I used to hate the St. Louis Cardinals something fierce. And they just went on this incredible run in September and made the playoffs out of nowhere. And it doesn't hurt me that they did that. I've actually got a healthy respect for how good their organization is. It's amazing how I think we're better. I don't know. Maybe the world is, there's so many things going on. And certainly the things going on in the world are of very little significance to you and your family at this point because you have something so much bigger. But people pay attention to other things that I think get them either engaged or sometimes frustrated or they think is really important. And maybe, you know, hating your rival isn't such a big deal after all. You know, I think most of us grow out of that, don't we?
I hope my son does.
Well, he doesn't hate KU, does he?
Oh, he's not a fan. We have certain rules. He's not allowed in the house if there's games on. I'm sorry, buddy. You can't. No, this isn't going to work.
Are you guys going to watch the KUMU basketball game together? What are you going to do?
Oh, we will absolutely watch that because I'm very confident in that. So we will watch that together. However, if KU and MU play football, we will not watch that game together.
Yeah. He'll just go to the game and you'll stay home. Is that what'll happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The best plan of all. That's fantastic. Okay. Let's finish with, what the walk is going to be like, what people can expect if they come out. You said this will be their 10th or 11th year. I think you're going to be there. We just meet at Kauffman Stadium. I think it's Lot J. Registration's 9 a.m. The walk starts at 10. It's a good time. There's music and fun, and everybody's just having a good time raising money pretty much.
Absolutely. Music, games, food. There'll be a little ceremony at the beginning. And again, like I said, it's an emotional day. It's an emotional day because you're walking, and when you're walking, you see pictures of those that you're walking for.
Yeah.
And it never fails. Every year when I'm walking, I won't be paying attention, and I have no idea where my father's picture is at. And something will happen, and all of a sudden, the glimpse of my eye, I'll see that picture. And then when you're walking, you see pictures all ages, all genders, all races. And it's a moment to where you realize why you're walking and you're thankful that you have that opportunity to walk. But again, it's a great family event, for a fantastic cause. And what I will do as well is, Kevin, I'll be in contact with you. I'm not sure how we can coordinate it, but I will have an update of where Bishop's Brawlers can meet beforehand. So we're walking together as that team.
Good. No, that sounds great. And I'll keep promoting the event all the way through the next several podcasts as people hear it. So we're going to stay on this and see if we can get as many people either out there or to donate as we possibly can. Has anybody ever walked with a dog, James?
No one has, but there's no reason why. I mean, I know your dog goes everywhere with you guys.
He's our family at this point, man.
I totally respect that. I respect that.
I don't want to break any rules, but we walk him every day. He likes to walk. So I thought, well, I'm just asking. I didn't know if it was, it's probably not the right place for him. I think we'll leave him home.
Lord, I can call the Mid-America chapter.
Don't
and get
do it. Don't even do it. I think it's best to leave him home. If you haven't seen other dogs, he missed out on Tuesday night. It was Bark at the Park, and we didn't take him this year. It was the first year we haven't taken him to Bark at the Park. I feel like we shorted him. He loves going out to Kauffman Stadium or the Monarchs game out in Kansas City, Kansas. Either one. He loves doing that. He's a very social little guy, but I don't think this is a place for him. So we're going to leave him at home, James. It's all good. I just wish you the best, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday the 9th. And I encourage everyone, implore everyone, to Google ALS Walk KC and make a small donation, make a large donation, whatever you feel is appropriate. Sign up to walk with us. You know, I've told the listeners for a long time. I keep calling these sports bars saying we're going to have a watch party, then there's mask mandates and everything gets complicated. So except for the patrons, I haven't asked all the listeners to come do anything. Let's do this together. Everybody want to come on out. Let's go. Come walk with me and James on October 9th, Saturday at Kauffman Stadium. And let's have some fun. Let's be serious. Let's understand the reason we're there. But let's just try to have a great day on Saturday, October 9th. James, you're just truly an amazing person, and I cannot thank you enough for reaching out to me. I'm touched by your story and your family, and I wish there were more I could do. But I know that you find strength in your faith and in your family, and that is a true blessing.
Kevin, I can't thank you and your listeners enough, along with your sponsors, for this opportunity to spread the word on ALS awareness. It means a lot. Means a lot to myself, my family, and everyone living with ALS. Today has made a difference. It's made a difference. If we inform one more person, we made a difference. And for that, I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you, sir. Very well said. James Bishop, the ALS Walk is Saturday, October 9th. Just Google it, ALS Walk KC. We'd love to see you there.